And we'll go ahead and get started. Mr. Dan is in Iowa today, so that's why I'm opening. Also, I can't sing, so that's why we're not singing. So there you go. All right, but I can give announcements and birthdays and stuff like that. So the first thing I want to read off is something we talked about, we mentioned last week, September the 10th. So that's in 2 weeks. Bree, is that right? 2 weeks? All right, 2 weeks from today, Bree and Matthew having a baby shower here. All right, so y'all know what a baby shower is, right? Yep. All right, we're having a baby shower here. On what day? The 10th, right here. All right, baby shower on the 10th. Next thing I want to do is I'm going to start, we're going to start passing this around, and this is for, this is also for September the 10th in the evening service. There is a, it says, please sign up to bring a dish to the International Potluck on Sunday, September 10th, after the evening service during the Missions Revival. And so I asked what type of food, you know, we're looking for here, and the answer was anything you want to bring. So that leaves it pretty wide open. All right, now, one other thing, just as a disclaimer, this is called an international potluck. There is no pot involved, okay? Just want to do a disclaimer here, all right? Now, let's make sure these get, when we get to the back, make sure these get over to Dave Rush, all right? So I'll start one on this side, and let's start the other one here. And I only have two, so I don't know what you guys are going to do. Somebody make sure we get one over to that side, I guess. Oh, some brownies. Yeah, I would have expected that out of you, Leroy. All right, let's move on. We'll do the prayer request in just a moment. Wedding anniversaries. Anniversaries this week. We've got, let's see. All right, we've got Dan and Carmen Rogers, who are not here. But they may be listening in. So shout out to the Rogers for anniversary on the 31st. On the 28th, Ethel Johnson. And any other anniversaries this week? Anniversaries? I'm looking. All right, so happy anniversary to both of you. And birthdays this week. Karen Sales on the 28th. That's tomorrow. I thought I saw Karen somewhere, but I'm not sure. Did I? No, I didn't. All right, happy birthday to Karen. Any other birthdays this week? Birthdays coming in? Yes, birthday this week. What day? What day is it? 31st? Oh, you were not on there last week? Let's see. Yeah, I guess you weren't on there last week. Okay, happy birthday from last week. All right, any others that we missed last week or this week? Birthdays? Birthdays? All right. Well, happy birthday, happy anniversary. Larry, you wanted me to announce something about the back table, the sign-in table. There's mail. Back there for periodically, there's mail with your name on it. So you got mail. Make sure you look for your name back there on the sign-in table. All right. One prayer update. Sharon Harmon is already on the prayer list. And so this is confirmed now. She has liver and pancreatic cancer. So let me just take a breath here just a moment. So we're going to be praying for Sharon. So Sharon is already on our list, but now you know the depth of the need. The depth of the need. All right. So anything else that we need to update on the prayer list? It's on the back table. Yeah, there's always decisions to be made in health crises, are there not? And so what do we need to make decisions? Do we have infinite knowledge and wisdom as human beings? Do we? No. So what do we do? What's a good Bible verse for that? What's a good Bible verse? I know you all know this one. James 1:5. Can somebody give us some thoughts about James 1:5? If any man, what's the next word? Lack, I heard it. Any man lack wisdom. Would that be all of us? Amen. All of us. If any man lack wisdom. Then what do? We ask of God, and he giveth, what's the next word? Liberally. He doesn't withhold. He doesn't just dole out small amounts. And the next part says, he upbraideth not. He does not scoff at us or become disgusted with us for our lack of wisdom and us coming and bothering him. It's not how it works. Wow, what a verse, huh? So there's wisdom needed. This is one of our class members needs wisdom, needs prayer this week. And there's many others. You all have seen the prayer list. Let's make sure we keep that list up to date, all right? So if you have changes, make sure you turn those in. All right, I believe that's it. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we will take a peek at something else having to do with the Passover. We'll be looking at the Passover for a couple of times now. Look at maybe one or two more things, and then we'll move on. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the time we have to be here together. We do want to pray for the Harmons now as they have a lot of decisions to make this week. And as we've talked about, we as human beings, we do not have infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom. But we are told to simply ask. Just go and ask for it. And there's plenty of verses in the Bible that talk about if we will go, we will ask, that you will direct us, you will guide us, you will lead us. I think of Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So we're praying for wisdom here. We're praying for healing, if it be your will. We're praying for direction, praying for comfort and strength, all the things we need during these times of trials. There's other class members here going through trials right now or having family members that are going through something. And I pray the same thing for them. Pray that I could throw in the word peace, the word understanding, the word trust and faith. A lot of things we need as we go through life. And thank you that we can come to you. We can ask for these things and you can help us. You can meet these needs. Pray for Dan and Carmen as they're away. I believe Dan's going to be preaching this morning there in Iowa. So just pray your blessing on him. Thank you for what he means to this class. And I pray your blessing on this time we have together here, that this will be a profitable time for us. And so just have your blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's look at something about the Passover once again today. In Exodus chapter 12, and I'd like to also look at a verse in 1 Peter over in the New Testament. We had just a little glitch, so there's no screens today. We're going old school. And it's called old school for a reason. So this is the old school way. Exodus 12 and 1 Peter chapter 1. So in Exodus 12, I want to take a peek at verse 13. And we'll look at verse 13, and then I'm going to ask a question, and we'll see if we can get a consensus from the group. Okay, so verse 13, very, very familiar verse, I think. It says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And y'all know what that means. Remember the story of the Passover here in Egypt. All right. Then it says, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So there's where we get the phrase Passover. I will pass over you. So when the judgment comes, if you have the blood as a token on your houses like it was supposed to be, then the judgment is passed over. So the judgment does not come on your house. All right. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. All right, so I want to throw out a couple of questions. It's really one thought, one question, maybe phrased in a couple of ways. So was the blood enough? Having the blood over the doors, was that sufficient Was that enough? And we would all say, what would we say? We would say yes. The blood was sufficient. It was enough. What if I said no? Man, it got quiet in here, didn't it? What if I said no? Would you all fire me for heresy? Well, before you start hating on me, can we take a little peek into something? Now we're getting somewhere. All right, so verse 5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish. Tamim. So this word blemish, tamim, used 91 times in the Bible. It means, let me read this to you. It means complete, whole, entire, sound, without spot, undefiled. Verse 5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish. Remember, there's everything that happened in the Passover. The Passover is a story. It's a real thing that happened. It's not just something made up. It's a real thing. Everything about it was fulfilled about 1,500 years later in the person of who? Jesus Christ. He fulfilled everything in the Passover. There's no detail in here that is insignificant. There's nothing just thrown in as an afterthought. Every detail of the Passover has meaning. Everything about the Passover was perfectly fulfilled in Christ, or else his sacrifice would have been of none effect. What if I had said, I'm a Jewish guy back in this time, and I have a lamb that's maimed in some way, right? And I go, oh, come on, man. I mean, as long as we do this, you know, as long as we get an animal's blood on the door, it's going to be okay, right? Because verse 13 we just read, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So what if I did that as a Jewish guy? I throw the blood on the door like I'm supposed to do, and at midnight, the judgment comes. What's going to happen to my house? Judgment is going to happen because I didn't do it right. There was blood on the door, but was that blood sufficient? No, because I didn't do it the way God said to do it. So when we think about the Passover, how everything had to be exactly like God said to do it, we translate that over to Christ. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, says, but with the precious, and what's the next word? The precious blood of Christ. Now let's look at the Passover lamb and translate that over to our Passover. Who is our Passover? Jesus. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ. So right there, there's a link back to that lamb. It says, as of a lamb. Oh, there it is. There's that link. Without what? Without blemish. What if Christ had messed up and had some sin creep into his life? What if he had lost his temper with the disciples? And let's admit, the disciples were a bunch of knuckleheads, were they not? I mean, were they not always antagonizing Jesus with their stupid questions? And it's like, don't these guys get it? If I had been Jesus, I would have been doing that all the time. These guys, what if he had lost his temper with them, even one time? Could it be said he is without blemish? No. He had to be perfect. Every thought, word, and deed in him was without blemish. To me, he had to be perfect. So, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. So there's our thought for one part of the Passover that pictures Christ. And therefore, when I would say, is the blood over the door sufficient? The answer is kind of yes, but kind of no. Depends on where it comes from. Everything had to be fulfilled perfectly in Christ. All right? We'll pick that up again next time we get together. At this time, Mr. Jeff Wills is going to come and bring our Sunday school lesson. So, Mr. Jeff, you are on.
Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. If you don't know me, I'm Jeff Wills, and my little wife's over there sitting. Her name's Janine. I'd have her stand up, but I don't know how much that would help, really. But I love to tease her, and the churches I pastor, they love me to tease on her, but I try not to do it too much. But anyway, it's good to be here. Dan called me towards the middle of the week, last week, and I said I'd be glad to. And then boss called and said, I need you. About 5 minutes after he called, I need you at work. Now I need you at this place. And I thought, well, I have plenty of time to study for my days off, and that didn't happen. So I worked on this and worked on this when I could. But I want to talk about something that's very, very important for us and something that's very important for our church and all churches in the future if the Lord tarries his coming. And that is encouragement. Encouragement. Can't preach expository. I'm not going to be up here that long. Can't preach textually today. I just thought I'd pick a topic out and ask the Lord to lay it on my heart. And I want to talk about encouragement and how important it is to encourage other believers. And you're going to see that it's really basically a command from God that we do it. Now, there are people that have the gift of exhortation. Those people are sometimes easy to figure out in a church because they always have something good to say to somebody. They're always lifted in their spirits, and they just have that perfect peace, and they're living their gift that they got from God. But everyone is supposed to encourage. I want to tell you to start off with about a football coach, and just share a little humor with you. A football coach who had gotten fired from his football team. He wasn't winning games. And that happens a lot. This is a high school football coach. There's a lot of pressure on coaches today, now all the way down to the high school level. And so a new coach was hired. So this football coach said, you know what, I'm going to go over and try to encourage him. I know how hard the board and all these higher-ups are if this school's not winning football games. So he went over there to talk to him, and they had a good chat. They talked about football, talked about schemes, talked about defense, talked about a lot of other things. And he says, I came here to encourage you and hope that you do, to tell you I hope you do well, but I also came here to give you these two envelopes. One envelope had a 1 on it, and the other envelope had a 2 on it. He says, do me a favor, do not open these up unless absolutely necessary. Put them in your drawer. I hope you never have to use them. But if you have a bad season and the rumors start that you might get fired, the board wants to speak to you, the higher-ups want to speak to you, open up envelope number 1. If you happen to have and survive and you happen to have another bad season, I'd open up number 2 for sure. So he goes on, and the football season goes through, and they lose one more game than they win. And, of course, the board's not happy. The staff's not happy. The school's not happy. The bigwigs aren't happy. And he got that phone call. We want to speak to you. So he went to the board meeting, and they started talking to him. And before he went, he did what that coach said that got fired a year before. He opened up envelope number 1, and it said on it 3 words, blame last year's coach. So that's exactly what he did. He went in there, and he blamed the coach. It was the other coach's fault. He says, I've got some good players. We got other players coming. He convinced them that we're going to have a good season next year. So they let him stay on another year. Well, that year he had to deal with injuries, and things just didn't go well, and they thought for sure they were going to have a great season, a winning season, and it didn't happen. The board members were stirred up, the bigwigs were stirred up, and he got that phone call from them. He said, well, I better go look at number 2. So he goes in, pulls out envelope number 2, his desk drawer, gets it out there, looks at it, and it says, prepare 2 envelopes. So he knows it's gone. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, coaching is not an easy job. Hey, exhorting people, encouraging people in the Lord. To some of us, that's not easy to do, to walk up somebody and say, hey, how are you doing today? Hey, and introduce who's your wife, and then start talking to them about their family and things. It's easy for some, but it's not easy for others. But we are to encourage our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I'm going to use a very familiar verse. And you look at it and go, oh, you hear this verse all the time, and I want you to turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Many of you probably can figure out already what verses I'm going to go to. We're going to look at verses 24 and 25. One of the things I'm always concerned about when I get up is this going to be high enough. My vision is not the best in the world. But in verse 24 and 25, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke." That word provoke has the idea of enticing or encouraging unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging or entreating others, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are given a command from God to exhort and to lift up and encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to come to church not with just the mind of worshiping the Lord and singing praises to God, but encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ. You never know what a word will do to someone if you just take time to talk to them, encourage them. My son, the other day, he's a deacon, but he's off the deacon board right now in the last church I came from. He said, "Dad, our church," and it's a great church, believe me, it's a good church, great church, good work. They're soul conscious, they love each other. But they have a dinner on the grounds. Once a month. And he said, "Dad," he said, "we had a visitor in our church. He was an older guy. He wasn't dressed very well. They encouraged him to stay for the dinner, and he went over and ate at a table. And he said, none of the deacons, nobody in the church, went over and sat with the guy. And he says, I was really mad at our church for not doing that. So he excused himself from his wife, and he went over there and started talking to him." Sometimes we stick out, you know, talk to our groups, our people that we know, we acknowledge, but we don't really look around and say, okay, that is a new visitor. That person, no one's paying attention to. Go over and talk to them. Encourage them in the Lord. Ask about their life. Get involved. Sometimes we don't want to do that, but we should. If we're thinking like Christ, we should. Because Jesus loves everyone, and he cares about everyone. And so we need to be concerned about other people. I can tell you this, that not everybody needs as much encouragement as others. But everybody does need encouragement at one time. I know this from my past, that encouragement helps motivate, it shows caring, and it brings confidence to others. When I was in school, our high school was going further than it ever had in baseball. And my dad would not come to my games, most of it's because he had obligations with the military. He was retired military, but my mom would come to all of them if she could. And he used to get mad at her because she always came to all my games, and I'm not sure why and everything, but I begged my dad, "Dad, will you please come to this game? I'm pitching. If we win this game, we're going to the state, and we've never done that before. Please come see me." And all he said to me was, "I'll try, son." Well, that didn't make me feel very good because he said that before. So I'm a competitor. I want to win. But I was wondering if my dad was going to come. So I'm pitching. I'm on the mound. And I'm warming up before the game starts. And every time I threw the ball on the warm-ups, I'd catch it. And then I'd deliberately walk around the mound as far as I could. And I'd just be looking to see if my dad was out there. Now, here I am, a senior in high school, concerned about whether my dad's coming or not. I know I'm getting down to where it might be my last baseball game that he may ever come to. So I'm concerned. First inning went by, I didn't see him. Second inning, I went out there and I started to warm up, and I walked around the mound. But guess what? As I was walking around the mound, I saw my dad in them ugly old green fatigues they wore back in the 70s with his hands on his hips like this, just looking at me. Man, I swelled up. I felt energy come into my body. I was as pumped up as one person can be. My dad is watching. Like a little kid. And I couldn't throw those first two balls over the plate if my life depended on it. I'm telling you, I threw two fastballs and they weren't even close. Even the catcher came out and asked me what was wrong. But I was pumped up. I was encouraged by my dad being there. That's all that was. And we need to do that with others. And we need to do that for our children. We need to do that for our grandchildren. And we need to do that for our friends. We need to encourage each other. A kind word can warm up three winter months. Have you ever had a job where nobody pays you a compliment? You just work the job and nobody pays you a compliment? That can be kind of discouraging. Now, me and my oldest son, we don't really care about the compliments as long as they pay us the money. You know, you can pay me the money, then you can do what with me what you want. I'll do it and everything. But a lot of people, they need encouragement at work. They want to know that they're doing a good job. They want to know what the plan is and if they're helping out. Then, have you ever been at a job where the only time they come to you is when they got a complaint? They got something bad to say. That's when you hear from them. Well, what does that do to people? What does that do? It discourages people. It makes them want to quit. Negative thoughts. It causes one to wish he was somewhere else. So my question is this. If we know that's to be true, and if you all agree with that, then why aren't we out there encouraging people as much as we possibly can? Not just the people that we know real well, but people we don't know real well. Because I believe the Bible's teaching that here in the Scriptures. As we move along in life, we need to encourage each other more and more. It's so important to do. We see that it's necessary for each of us in these Scriptures. We must be in charge, church, whenever we can, and the reasons why, so that we can provoke and encourage other believers to live for Christ and Christ alone, to show love and promote good works, to exhort other believers, and the real reason is because God commands it. He commands us to do this. You that are doing it, I'm teaching this so that you will just keep on doing it. You that maybe come and you sit in pews and then you go back and you sit in another pew and that's about as far as you come go unless somebody comes and talks to you, I want you to be encouraged to get up and go talk to people. Introduce yourself to them. You don't know what you're going to be doing for that person, but God does. God does. There are two people that are important in my life. Both of them, each of them did something different. One saw my need to get saved and live, and went forward with me and showed me how to accept Christ. The other, because my dad moved as soon as I got saved and there was no discipleship, the other one was William Denhoff, who's in heaven with the Lord now, started Fellowship Baptist Church up in Columbus, Ohio. He took me in his office one day and said, "This is why you're here. This is why God has you here, and this is why you're on earth. This is what God expects of you." He's the other person. So when I pastored churches, the people that I've led to the Lord, and all the inviting I did, and all the things that I don't know until I get to heaven for the work that I did, guess who's going to get the credit for them? Those two guys. Those two guys. And you never know, if you encourage somebody and lift them up enough and you get excited about the things of God, you'll be out there witnessing, and maybe somebody that you encourage to come to church will come and get saved, and who knows, they may need the next Billy Graham or someone like that. You just don't know. So encouraging people is so important. It helps believers when they're down and they're sick and they're hurting. Don't ever say, I don't know what to say if I go visit somebody in a hospital. You don't really have to say anything. As soon as you walk in the door, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. But I'm asking us to kind of get out of our comfort zone, because I believe the Bible teaches it here. That's what we need to do. Correction is a good tool, but I'll say this. People are better and do better things for God when they're encouraged. I'd like for you to turn to Psalms 121. Psalms 121. I should say Psalm 121. My wife will correct me later. Do it. I find this very interesting. Psalm 121, it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence my help, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. This is a pretty interesting bit of scripture. That word hills has to do with Moriah and Zion. This is David looking up, so to speak. It was Mount Moriah at Jerusalem where the temple would be. And but for us, it's this house, this building where we come to worship. But David was looking up toward Jerusalem, where the Shekinah glory of God would dwell. He needed to be there. He needed to talk to God. He needed to be with God's people. David knew his help would come from the God of Zion. And the principle is the same for us. In verse 2, it says this. It says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's appropriate for them. And it's appropriate for us today. My help comes from the Lord. We need to ask the Lord to give us, to help us. But we need also be thinking about other people and trying to encourage each person as well. We need to go to the Lord first. But that should stem down into God's people, encouraging God's people. I had a philosophy when I preached at churches. The two churches I preached at was, first, I'm going to make sure and work hard at our church loving God first. The second one was, then I want them to fall in love with each other and help each other. And then when that happens, then they'll start caring about the souls of people outside of this building. And so if we would get out of our comfort zone just a little bit, come to church and worship, encourage other believers, I believe that will stem into you wanting to care about other people's souls as well. In Deuteronomy 1:38, it says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. It says here, encourage him. He shall cause Israel to inherit it. Joshua was taking over leadership in this scripture, and he was going to lead Israel into the promised land. What did God say? God said it. Encourage Joshua and Caleb. Encourage those men. So my thing is here, if leaders need encouraged, our pastor needs encouraged, our staff needs encouraged, the teachers that are in these classes, they need to be encouraged for the glory of God. It is important to encourage everyone. God's people must encourage believers. I'm going to leave you with this because I wasn't sure how much time I had or how much time I've taken. My brother, Bob, and this brought tears to my eyes. My brother, Bob, who was 2 years older than me, I'm 66 now, he was 66 when he died. Bob worked on a farm. He refurbished log cabins and he cleaned oil wells. And there's a lot of chemicals involved in all that work that he does. And he had cancer all over in his bones and in his bloodstream doing that job, probably. That's what they figured out. And I went up to visit Bob, and they had him on steroids. And he could walk around pretty good. He was talking about things he was going to do, but they assured me as soon as those steroids wore off, he was going to die. He would die. But I got to see him. I drove home because I didn't know how long that was going to last, and I don't know how many days went by, but my brother died. And so I went up to the funeral. Very nice church. Very good message about the Lord. Got up there, and I just remember this mostly about the funeral. I knew my brother was saved. The pastor got up there at the very end of that service, and he says, I got to say this about Bob. It's important for me to say it. And tears were coming down his eyes. He said, every time Bob was in the church and I finished my message, almost without fail, And you got to know my brother. My brother, I never thought he'd ever get a wife. I never thought he'd get anything. Bob was just, a farm boy, just not much personality, dressed wrong, everything. But anyway, he got a wife. But anyway, and so just to hear anything like this about Bob, just because Bob was quiet, he didn't talk, which was okay. I'll do the talking, when I was up there. But Bob didn't talk much. But he said every service, almost every service, Bob would walk up and there was three steps down from the podium. And he would let me talk to the people I'm talking to. And then Bob would have his hand behind his back like this, he said, and he was just sobbing up there. And he always had, this is a picture of Bob. Bob would have his hand behind his back and his hand out like this. And the pastor would come down and he says, "Good message, Pastor." And he said he did that without fail. And he was crying. And he said this, I don't want to cry because I was crying when he said it too. Because I was my brother. He said, "He'll never know how much he encouraged me until I get there. Because I'm going to thank him when I get there." So, you don't know when you're going to make a difference for somebody. Don't hang around the same people all the time. Go find somebody new to encourage in the church. Go learn their names. Because it's so important. And as this church grows, as people get saved, as it gets bigger, don't say, "This church is too big." Don't say, "This church is too big." Just say, "This church is growing because it cares about people." And anytime somebody leaves to go somewhere into the fishing field or surrenders for the Lord, that's going to be a blessing for this church and everything. We keep putting out preachers and people wanting to go in the ministry and raising kids right, that's going to be a blessing. But I'm telling you right now, your pastor needs encouragement. He deals with a lot of people, and sometimes you can't encourage him after church, but maybe you could just send them a piece of mail and the letter says, "Pastor, I really enjoy the preaching. I really enjoy everything you're doing." Because you might think he gets more than maybe he needs, so to speak, but he can never get enough encouragement. Never enough courage. None of us can, really. That's the truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I believe what the Scripture says as we get closer to the rapture, as we get closer to the Lord coming, that politics is going to get worse. The earth's going to get worse. It tells us in Revelation. It tells us over in Daniel some of the crazy things that are going to go on. But I know that you're going to take care of us. I know you're going to take care of your children. But Lord, the more this happens, the more we get like this, the more people need to be encouraged. So I hope, dear Heavenly Father, without wearing that word out too much, that we will love you, serve you, we'll care about others, and be willing to encourage people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.